The views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio, and its affiliates and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio, and affiliates and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest with me today. Actually, we've been trying to coordinate schedules for the last 5 or 6 months, and now, finally, I have a great lady who's so super talented and so musically inclined, a wonderful book that she's wrote, and we're going to talk to her today during this hour. Her name is Cheryl Melody Baskin, and also known as Melody, and she's the author of the popular Amazon motivational self-help book, Shifts of Love, Paths to Healing and Love. And it's a great book. I've read it. It's very, very inspirational, and it's jam-packed with personal and professional life experiences and offers the reader a huge dose of unconditional love, encouragement, reflections, meditations, learning to listen to the whispers and signs of life, ways to open creativity, acknowledge moments of serendipity, inspirational stories of shifting our heart, as well as inner growth tools that she uses to balance herself in the midst of life's challenges. Cheryl Melody is also a performing artist, singer, and sound healer, composer, and an independent recording artist of 10 albums. Wow, that's awesome. Some of her albums are for children and some are for adults. Welcome, Melody. How are you today, doll?
Oh, I'm fine. Thanks for that grand introduction. I appreciate it.
Yes.
But I want to say I'm perfectly imperfect, however.
That's our little secret we're not supposed to tell anybody.
Oh, that's okay. I just want to come right out with it. You can have all the gifts in the world, but you're just human and just in process, just like everyone else, and so that's what I am.
Yes, but, it feels like spirit's working through you. You have a couple albums
for
adults, which are called entitled Voice of the Angels, A Healing Journey, and then Lullabies of Love, Nurturing the Heart of the Inner Child, and Celebrate Peace. I love that. That's awesome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You're right. I am I'm open at times to what comes through me, and I'm very, very blessed, very grateful.
Yes, and then now you have another album. Wow, you've just
been
busy.
I haven't totally released this one. I'm going to be releasing it. I've decided to add a few more things to it.
Okay.
So it's called Listen to the Whispers, ironically. And it's kind of like the musical version of my book, Shift of Heart, Paths to Healing and Love. It really is. It's like the musical version of it.
That's beautiful.
Power chants and songs and meditations and power words and that kind of thing. So it's another platform, another form.
Yeah, well, sometimes I say the meditations are the medication to my soul because I need the meditations.
we all need some time out in some way. Whether we can do 20 minutes, an hour, or even, 30 seconds, just taking a breath and realizing you're breathing can be rejuvenating. And, sometimes I wrote a poem that helps me kind of just center myself. It's just 4 lines, but if I say these 4 lines, I'm in the moment again. And it's wonderful medicine, like you said.
It is. And I loved your, which is going to be the introductory song for the show. How did you come up with the opening song, If You Had a Dream? How did that come to you?
Oh, yeah, If You Have a Dream. Well, to be completely frank, I was going through some kind of blue time for a change. I remember sitting on the couch just kind of paralyzed. And I forced myself to get up. And I have a little music room in my home. I went to the keyboard. I put my hands on the keyboard. I wasn't playing anything. And this beautiful melody and these amazing words came through me in one holistic piece. If you have a dream, hold on to the dreamer. Fill yourself up with music and light. Reach out to spirit who gives you meaning. Trust in your dreams both day and night. And it goes on and on. And many times when I perform that song, I say it more than I sing it because the words are what I want people to hear. And I've put it on 3 albums. I believe in it so much. So it's helped heal me and remind me to never give up on your dreams and never let any darkness surround you, like the song, one of the verses says. And if you let it surround you, just don't let it take the space of going for your dreams anyway, no matter what. So, yeah, it's a very special song to me. And especially the way it came through, you know, that's always so magical and remarkable to me. And I just feel so lucky when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not a songwriter, but I'm a writer. So when I'm writing a book or a poem or a blog and it comes through me, I don't know where it comes from, but it comes through
me. Exactly.
And
a miracle.
It is. It's like universe or divine or God or whatever term you want to use uses us as instruments and channels to help bring that out, you know, at different avenues. It's really cool. Like I said, writing, you're a songwriter, you're a musician, and it's just amazing. It really is more in tune we are with divine, the more it comes through us. I don't know, I just think it's awesome.
And sometimes the divine will work through you even if you fight it and resist it. It happens anyway if it's meant to happen. You have to, but it is key to be open, arms open, heart open, spirit open. I have this phrase, open to the magical mystery of the unknown. I think it's so key. And then magic happens. Your poetry happens that way in your writing, and it's still miraculous. It really is.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about your life with music and how you create the lyrics and melodies to your songs.
My mother was an opera singer and an actress, so it's in the blood and it's in the genes, but I never sang opera, but I have a more of a pure, sort of, people call it angelic, childlike voice, although I can get into a very strong voice as well. My father used to send me birthday cards that always had rhymes in them. And, you know, I just think that I have the best of their gifts, and I really sung in front of people since I was 3 years old. Singing is really my heart, and I've always known, well, not always, because I was bullied as an elementary school child. I know the destructive power of words, and a lot of times the bad stuff that happens to you winds up being your actual profession in trying to do the opposite for the world and show them the healing of words and the power of words for good. So I have always been known as a positive wordsmith in terms of every song that I write, whether it's for a baby or for a 105-year-old, and every word in my book is consciously created to uplift the human spirit and to help people feel less alone, to nurture self-esteem, to advocate for compassion and inclusion and nonviolence and more love in the world. So I have been doing that for 40-something years, which gives you an idea of my age, unfortunately. But
I won't tell but, if you won't tell.
Okay. So, yeah, words have been number one to me. And then I create a catchy tune so that people will sing these words or a child will sing these words. And it will get inside their body, mind, and spirit and help to help for inner growth and confidence and all of that good stuff.
That's great. That's awesome. I love it. I do. And the book that you wrote, which I read, I still have a copy. I love it. It's Shifts of Heart, to Path to Healing to Love. What inspired you to write that book, Melody?
Well, thank you for reading it, first of all. That means the world to me.
I did. Yes, I did.
It was something that was being whispered to me for like quite a few years. I kept hearing this voice, and I didn't know if it was delusions of grandeur or if it was true inner voice that I have a book inside me, And one day I decided to sit down and focus, and I wrote a lot of what was inside me to see if there truly was a book. So 12 hours later or so, because once I focus, I really focus, I saw that I did have something I needed to pay attention to. I actually resisted it for a while because I've been perfectly happy doing music. And I don't know, sometimes I push away the inner voice or the highest wisdom until I just can't ignore it anymore. And so it reached a point a few years ago where I just didn't want to ignore it anymore. And I began to write the book. How I wrote the book was pretty magical, where I came down to the music room that I'm sitting in right now. And it's a small kind of cluttered place. You know, there's keyboards and instruments and tables and all that stuff. But when I'm in here, the energetic field feels very pure and clear and clean. And it's where I've created many songs and a couple of albums. And so I centered myself with that poem that I told you I do. I put my recording equipment on, and I really allowed my highest self, my highest wisdom, the third eye, to ask questions and then let stream of consciousness answer them. Questions like, if I allowed my highest wisdom to be my compass for my life, how could I breathe in more inner peace and love no matter what life's challenges were? And then I would just allow stream of consciousness answers to flow through me, and I would verbalize it into the microphone. Or how can I be the best parent to myself? And then I would hear the answers. How can I live with chaos and joy side by side like two wings? And I would hear the answers, and I would record them. And it was really magical. And because it wasn't coming from my usual self. My usual self can be like anyone else. It can be anxious, insecure, you know, all of these things. This was truly coming from a highest place, and I was allowing the answers to come from the highest place. And it was, I really took a lot of that recording and put it into the book, as well as adding to the book inner growth tools that work for me, meditations, inspirational stories, things like that. So it was really magical. It was something that was humming inside of me. And once I listened to the whispers, you know, and followed my heart. That's the most important thing, following your heart. Mm-hmm. Here it is. So I'm delighted.
It's interesting. You mentioned your inner child. Even, you know, at my age and your age, I'm in my 40s. You know, you wanna you still have that inner child, and how do you cater to her? Do you just sing to her, like you said, or how do you work with her?
I talk to her mm-hmm. from the, you know, the higher version, the most wonderful parent that I could possibly be to that inner child is how I try to treat that inner child, that hurting child, that wounded child. And I also believe in creating positive affirmations, power words, to try to transcend some of those wounds that we've had in childhood and try to get to a higher place in our lives and a better place in our lives so that we're not constantly bucking the old tapes and DVDs that are in our mind from childhood. And we can soar and be all we're meant to be. So it's a combination of all of those things, you know. I do believe in, power affirmations. I step into my life with courage, things like that, and then visualize, what does that look like? What might you do? What does that sound like? What is your posture like? And so I do a lot of visualization work, power words work, and talking to my inner child and you know, giving her a voice, but not giving her the voice anymore, because that's the past, that's old stuff, and yeah. You want to step into all of who you are now and can be.
Right. Yeah, and the reason why I'm asking that question, because I've done a lot of inner child work myself. When I first started on this path, God, a long time ago, and there was a woman around me, you know, I was doing meditation groups, and she goes, I do a lot of inner child work. And I said, what's that? She goes, you're not ready for that. When you start doing that, watch out. When you start healing.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I did. I actually had a healer friend. We talked to the different ages of the little Amy. And that was a fascinating process mm-hmm. because things I had forgotten I felt came up during those sessions. So mm-hmm. you have to be your parent, especially if you didn't have great parenting to begin with. And that's why I'm bringing this up for our our listeners today. Yeah,
that's it, Amy. You have to parent yourself. And that's why I did the album Lullabies of Love, Nurturing the Heart of the Inner Child. That album is really there to give us a second chance to be nurtured with beautiful melodies, with nurturing words about loving ourselves and all of that. It's a beautiful album, you know, and people can even just do iTunes and do separate songs on iTunes. But that was my purpose for that one. It's
definitely
a process to heal your inner child. I don't know if it's ever completely possible, but it certainly is possible to get your other self so strong and so filled with courage and so empowered that the wounds get, you know, more and more distant, you know, and you can transcend beyond the wounds or because of them. Your life's work can be because of those wounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I was bullied, I've also done a lot of work on peace and nonviolence and anti-bullying and all that. So, you know, I've done concerts in schools and, you know, I've done peace gatherings for adults and all that. So, you know, your life's work can become a result of some of the wounds that have happened, and it's so wonderful that it can be the opposite side of the coin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the duality of, you know, I use my humor, too, and I'll say to my friends and people that I know, I say, it takes most of our adulthood to get over our childhood. And people
true.
Look at me like, really? Yeah, even though that maybe was, I don't know, 10, 18 years, whatever it is, your childhood is, you have to get through those, because that's where the wounding comes from. And, you know, my own life, I grew up with alcoholism, rageaholism, addiction, and, you know, parents that were just abusive, and a middle sister that was abusive. So I've had to transcend those wounds with helping my clients. And, you know, but people don't understand is you got to help yourself before you help others. And I think your work demonstrates that, I feel, in my opinion, that you have helped yourself with this work, and you're helping the world with your transcendence on this, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I teach what I need to learn.
Yes.
I guide what I need to learn. And what I'm sending out to the world creates my own healing. So it's all about me, really. But it's also, within that is my desire to help people. And, you know, so it's all really one, you know, one key.
And
it's amazing that you're still here and I'm still here despite everything, huh? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have I have a chapter in the book that's called I'm Still Here, and a song, a chant that's called I'm Still Here, because I do think it's amazing that no matter all the challenges that you went through, and you've gone through so much, that you're more than just still here. You're making a difference, and you're using all of that negative stuff that, you know, went on in your life for good now.
So, yes. You know, so have you, and it's a gift. I think, you know, I used to be so resentful of my past. I used to resent it, and I would blame my mother and father and my siblings, and I'd blame even the dog and the cat that were around at the time, and the house even. I used to call it the house of hate. And, you know, as I transcended all that stuff, I'm like, no, I'm supposed to go through this for a reason. I don't know what the hell the reason is, and I used to get mad about it. But I went through it, and I've been able to help people like you have through your work. And, you know, let's ask this question. How did you come to what you're doing today, Melody, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell?
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know. It just sort of has happened. I believe that I've listened to the whispers, literally, for every career choice I've made, every path I've walked on, it's been because I listened to the signs and what I call the loving shouts and the whispers of what I'm supposed to do next and how I'm supposed to reach out next, or am I supposed to rest now, or is this a time of doing now, or, you know, all of that. So I've been always pretty introspective, even as a child. And, that's how I, you know, there's a story in the book about how I was happily teaching children. And then in 1995, the federal building in Oklahoma City got bombed.
Yes.
And I wanted to help in some way, and I didn't know how. And then out of nowhere, a call came in. And she said, my name is Dr. Norma Leslie. I'm a professor at the University of Oklahoma. And this is a stranger I had never heard from before. I have your CDs, and I use it in my work, and I'd like you to come and do a Peace, Hope, and Healing concert for our grieving community. Are you willing to come? Now, the Woody Allen neurotic person inside me was thinking, why is she calling me? I'm not famous. I've never done anything national, and I'm just a music teacher for young children. But the part of me that listens to the whispers said, Spirit has a plan for me. There's a reason she called. And I found myself saying yes and trusting that the rest would take care of itself and I would know what to do. And so there I was in a few weeks on the amphitheater stage at the University of Oklahoma, with all the people grieving in front of me on the bleachers. Just before I was about to sing, a butterfly flew onto my microphone and then flew around my body and then landed on my shoulder. And it was amazing. And I just knew that was a message that I was right where I was supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. So that's how I kind of live my life. And I also try to encourage people to expand their definition of themselves. Don't over-label yourself with thinking you're just this or you're just that or you only do one thing or you only do one thing in a certain way, because you never know what hidden gifts you have humming inside of you. You never know who's going to call you, what path you're going to be asked to walk on, and I just can't encourage people enough to trust that they have all that they need inside themselves, and that a higher spirit will help you, and to say yes to what the universe wants you to do.
Yes, and that's funny you mentioned about the Oklahoma City federal building, because Timothy McVeigh was from Western New York, and there was a big controversy with that one that happened. He just brought back some memories. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, he was up in the Northern Tier. I think he was in Middleport, Lockport or something. I lived in the South Towns. I remember that controversy. And I'm like, I think that, yeah, anyway. And he knew he was cousins or something, but out of that tragedy came out a lot of stuff, a lot of, I think, a lot of self-examination for people at that time, really. I think when we have those markers, like those tragedies, like the 9/11, you know, the federal building blowing up, you know, different things, it's kind of like humanity's way of giving us little guide points, you know, checkpoints, check marks. And self-check-ins, like, what am I doing here, like you did? What am I doing here to help other people through this tragedy? And that your music does that, you know? So.
Well, it makes me so mad in a way that I just want to try to change the vibration and get it to be higher and get people more conscious and get myself to be more conscious so that every small action we take toward you know, more kindness and compassion and helping each other and love is going to raise the vibration in the whole planet. And that's really the premise of my book and all I do, really, is that. And so those are wake-up calls that just make you even more, well, you can first feel horrible and depressed and grieving and in shock and in trauma, but eventually some of us decide we've got to do something, you know, in our own way. It makes us feel better.
Yes, and that's why I do this show, and I'm a writer too, so eventually I will be out there more. Let's talk about your newest album a bit, okay? Listen to the Whispers. How did that evolve?
Well, it was crazy.
Out of madness usually comes great creativity, I've noticed.
Yeah, I can really look like Mad Beethoven during those times, you know.
But, that's what I was envisioning, clairvoyance.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Well, I had just, because of the book, I've been doing workshops. I didn't expect I was going to be doing this, workshops and more concerts. So, I had just done a workshop. I do three workshops. One is called Words Matter, Change Your Words, Change Your Life. The other one is How to Feel More Positive, Balanced, and Energetic in Less Than 5 Minutes. And the other one is called It's Never Too Late to Follow Your Dreams. So this woman looked at my table of, you know, all my different things that I've created, and she purchased some things, but she said to me, "But where are your songs that you're doing in your workshop, Melody?" So you know me, and listening to Whispers, I figured, oh, there's another whisper. Oh, darn. I guess I got to go to work and get some of these songs onto CD. Quick. and everything is always so intense with me. It's like either all or nothing. And I really felt like because I'm at the, you know, I'm doing all this stuff, I really have to get this out right away. So I just worked like crazy, and it was a very similar experience to the book. You know, a lot just came. I had some songs that I was, songs and chants and meditations that I knew I was going to sing, but I added to it, and I would put reflections and you know, meditations coupled with it, and just went on and improvised. And you know, when I was done, I listened to it and I said, "Oh my goodness, who did that?" And, you know, it's and of course I had to call it Listen to the Whispers in every way, you know, because this woman was, you know, I felt like she kind of did more than whisper. She kind of shook me and said, "Well, where's your stuff?" You know, so anyway, that's how it happened. I'm pretty pleased with it. I decided to put it on hold for a second and add at least one story that I have in the book, but it's an expanded story about my mother and how she discovered that she could write poetry at the age of 93. And, it was just about the time where she had been complaining that she wanted to give up and why can't God take her already and things like that. And suddenly, you know, she discovered this about herself. So I decided I want to include storytelling on there, too. So that's what I'm working on today. I was doing it just before you called. Figured I could do that quickly. So.
Yes, I know. The creativity just keeps flowing and flowing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it just you just have to trust that there's so much inside of you to express. All we have to do is just be open.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing. And be willing to be vulnerable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always want people to know they're never alone. And what I go through, I'm sure they're going through. And really, I'm not a therapist of any kind. So, and I make that very clear in my workshops and in the book. I'm qualified to write this book because I go through the same thing everyone else does. You know, grief and sadness and anger and depression and joy and twinkle in my eyes and passion and confusion and chaos, and I'm still here. So that's why I, you know, wrote the book and why I feel qualified to write the book. But, you know, a person doesn't have to be the perfect time, or you don't have to be perfect, or you don't have to know your craft perfectly to just begin and take small steps towards your dream and just do it, or anything that lifts your spirit up. It doesn't have to be a big, you know, a book or a CD or anything like that. Just a lot of people are putting themselves on the back burner, and a lot of women especially are caretakers, and people want pieces of them, and we don't allow any time for honoring our soul and what gives us the warmth inside. So I encourage everyone to just take small little steps towards something that lifts your spirit and honors who you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, that's one of my mantras, is for women especially, take care of yourself before you, what's that analogy, you're on a plane, you put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on your child or the person next to you.
Right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah,
I often wonder if I would do that. I don't want to ever find out, but, you know.
I would hope not.
I know. Yeah, but I wonder what everyone really does, you know, in those situations. I would want to think that I would put it on my child automatically instead of myself, but really that's not what you're supposed to do.
Right, yes, and I know it's counterintuitive. As women, we're nurturers.
Yeah.
And we want to
exactly.
put everybody. I think being a woman in this day and age is, you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't, you can't take care of those around you. And I have to remember
that,
too. You know, I have
a lot of
animals and people in my life I take care of. So, and you know, going for a massage is the greatest gift I can give to myself on a Thursday afternoon. So, anyway.
Oh, that's great that you give yourself that. That's really important.
Yes.
For me, it's like I need solitude. I need a lot of solitude in nature, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that too.
Yeah.
But sometimes when your upper back and lower back's killing you, you're like, oh, yeah, it's been about 5 or 6 weeks since I had one.
My
back's hurting. I think my body's screaming to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't
think
get
you're right. I think that's something I need to do more often as well. So thanks for reminding me.
Anytime, girlfriend, anytime. Can you perform an example from one of your chapters in the section entitled Inspirational Reflections, Meditative Visualizations, and Poetic Songs?
Wow, that's a long title, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'm glad I had my, my energy drink today. I can speak. Woof, woof.
Well, that's so funny. There's a chapter in there, like we were talking about, that all you've gone through, all I've gone through, all other people have gone through. it's amazing that we're still here. So what I think what I'll do is I'll save this chapter.
Okay.
Kind of not reading it, but just saying it, and I'll mix in a chant with it. Now, in the book, the chant is just written out, but this chant will be on Listen to the Whispers. So the chant goes like this. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. No matter what. Most of us have had challenges in life, but somehow we keep on going. Do we ever take a moment to acknowledge our strength and our courage? In thinking about the many challenges that we face in life, it has always created a desire in me to hear each person's story of triumph, because I know that there is more to each person than what we see on the surface. There is more than who we see, more than meets the eye, more than who we see, no matter what. No matter what we are facing or have faced, you and I are still here. Because of our fortitude and our courage, we are still here. We shine the light inside us. Bring out the light inside us. See the light inside us, no matter what. I marvel at our resilience with wonder. I am awestruck at the way the human spirit can shine through the darkness. Keep that spirit, keep that hope, keep that fortitude and strength, because you and I are still here, no matter what. You and I are love. You and I are breath. And you and I are still here, no matter what. So that's an example.
That's a good example, I'll tell you. Because when I was growing up, there were times I wanted to check out. I really did.
Mm.
Yeah, and I always had guides and angels, I don't know, maybe whispering to me, you're more than your purpose, you're more than that. You have a purpose, you're more than your purpose. And I would hear that, and I'd be like, what the hell are they talking about? I like
that
song,
though.
That's
so good that you heard that. That's so good you heard that.
Oh, yeah.
That saved your life.
Oh, yeah, many times. And I think that just, you know, reminding ourselves we are still here despite everything, you know.
That's right.
We didn't take an Uzi and take somebody out either with us. We're still here, you know. Maybe somewhat insane, but I don't know. What do you think with all the stuff we've been through?
I think we're pretty good. I think we're in pretty good shape. As long as we try to just, you know, like there's a inner growth section in that book, you know, just, you know, going back to your center, go back to your breath, something that helps me so much to feel my sense of safety and is just remembering, feeling this moment, noticing this moment. In this moment, I am free. In this moment, I feel the who of me. In this moment, I clear my busy mind. In this moment, it's peace I find. And I just notice this moment, and I know I'm okay right now. It's when we get to have our minds do the chatter and worry about the future and the past and be influenced by what's going on around us too much. You know, instead of just this moment, I'm okay, you know. I find that to be very helpful. And then just trying to reach out to people with getting over ourselves, you know, and trying to reach out to somebody with some small act of kindness is really helpful to feel like the world is good again, you know?
Yeah, getting out of ourselves, you know, getting out of our own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So there's little secrets. Sometimes we forget them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we remember them most of the time, you know? Because we don't want to chastise ourselves for forgetting them, because then there's a, you know, then we're shaming ourselves, and we don't want to do that, right?
I just had a guest on. We talked about our inner critic, how we talk to ourselves and catching ourselves, how we talk to, how, you know, we wouldn't be talking to our friends like that, like, you stupid fool, or whatever we say to ourselves. You know, we have to treat ourselves with love and kindness. We really do.
We want to be our own best friend as much as we possibly can to remember that. Yep. It's crucial.
It is. It's very crucial. Speaking
of
inspiration, in the section Inspiring Moments and Everyday True Stories, can you share the inspirational story, It's Never Too Late?
Well, I just did, actually. That was about my mom. You know, she really gives me hope for what can be possible, you know. But I could read something from there, like another thing, if you'd like.
Sure, I'd love to. Let's hear
it. Okay. This is actually, what I want to explain is that I have kept a journal, I guess you call it a journal, of inspirational times that I have either experienced a shift of heart or I've noticed other people have. In seconds. I mean, I called my book Shift of Heart, Path to Healing and Love for a reason. I do believe that we can shift our hearts, our minds, in a second. You know, it could be on an errand that something happens, or your exchange with somebody that just changes your consciousness. And you're like, oh, yeah, and you shift. So, let's see, this is something that a little boy that was age 5 taught me. It's called Love is in the Details. I was in the middle of teaching music to a preschool class when Ben raised his hand and said, "Why aren't you wearing the flower in your hair, Cheryl Melody?" When I taught music to children, I always wore a colorful plastic flower in my hair. This time, however, I had left it in the car. There was something about Ben's words that stopped my breath and held me back from continuing the lesson. You see, he was vision impaired, and yet he noticed something important was missing. I felt my heart open, becoming the human being inside the teacher, and for a moment I was speechless. I assured him it would be in my hair next week, and he seemed satisfied with my reply. I continued on with my agenda. And yet Ben's innocent, sweet request has echoed within me for years beyond that moment. Here are the life wisdoms and gems I received from that moment. Love is in the details. Everything we do counts. Even a small plastic little flower in my hair mattered to someone. Break your inner rules. Decide there aren't any rules for delight, and what we choose to do, say, or wear may just uplift the right little or big person. There's no such thing as a perfect season to wear a flower. Color your life outside the lines and allow imprisoning words like should, would, and could to dwindle from your vocabulary. Step into inner freedom, inner peace, and creativity. There is joy in the parts of life that haven't been written down or structured. Incredible excitement can be stirred from the unplanned and unexpected moments. Your ideas don't have to be huge. Little ideas can make the biggest difference to someone. And you don't always have to work so hard. Just being who you are is enough. Now there's a concept. You are unique. Believe in yourself, your thoughts, your ideas. Know you make a difference. All parts of you matter to someone. I was surprised that the flower I wore mattered. Now I know. In order to receive ideas from others, leave spaces for silence. The more seasoned I become as a human being, the more I realize how important it is to allow silence and just listen. Silence leaves room for someone else's fabulous creative spirit. We all learn from each other. I'll keep mulling over this inspiring life's moment again and again in my heart and mind. I know there's still more I can receive from that precious 5-year-old asking me, "Why aren't you wearing the flower in your hair today, Cheryl Melody?"
That is so cute. So,
yeah,
I love that.
It's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Working.
It's amazing what you can get from that.
Yes, working with children, that must have been a gift in itself.
Oh, it is. Yeah, because they have uncluttered love and they don't need a workshop to tell them to be in the moment or to be in their breath. And it's another chance to have a really happy childhood. My lightness came out and humor and yeah, it's wonderful. And a lot of my teaching approaches with children I use with adults. There's so little difference. Using brain body, always trying to find a way to use your body in verbalizing an affirmation, really synthesizes your body, mind, and spirit, and helps you integrate, you know, certain tools that you want.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, for me, I could never have children, but my nieces and nephew, my cousins, and animals teach me how to be a playful adult.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my experience.
Absolutely. What animals do you have, Amy?
I have cats. I grew up with dogs and cats, but my cats are, you know, I have Facebook. I have my cats all over Facebook because, like I said, my cats are my kids.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they have a lot of characteristics of kids.
Oh.
Right?
As you were reciting that chapter, I have a water bottle here, and if you may hear a cat meow here and there, and I'm just like spraying them, shut up.
Oh, yeah. My son taught me that technique. Yeah. I know.
That's but they're
so
amazing.
Funny that
they're
you mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't like the water bottle. I just spray, you know, I just aim it. They're like, what?
No, they don't like it.
No,
well,
they don't.
It's giving them boundaries. So it's similar to how you would be with, you wouldn't spray a child with a water bottle, but, you know, it's similar to, you know, giving a child boundaries, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And getting back to your book, I don't know why I brought that up. When you said the child and then the cat started meowing, I'm like, yeah, they're like little kids, all right. anyway. in your book, Shift of Heart, you share the best of what you have learned over the years in terms of tools that help us balance and set ourselves in a time of chaos. Is there anything else you want to add to that? I know we've covered a lot.
Add to the tools, you mean, or?
Yeah, the tools, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I do sound healing as one of my tools, and
okay.
That sounds very lofty and grand, but really anyone can do it. And non-singers are even better at it than singers because you don't have to be in tune to do it. And if you just go, ta-da!
Yeah.
It's going to change your energy. I use sound healing, power affirmations, meditation, and going back to this moment. And I use the chakras. I focus on the seven chakras, and I have my own little approach. As you saw, one of the chapters is called my 5-minute chakra quickie, just to be cute, you know.
That's good.
But I do have a very quick way of balancing myself by using the seven chakras, the locations, the colors. I use a power affirmation that I've created for each one of them. And I use my hand, and I have my hand do circles so that it feels like the spinning wheel, the chakra, or you would call it a vortex, is getting wider and more expansive for each chakra that you're doing. So as I do each one, I'm using my hand and going to each location, imagining the color, imagining the saying the power affirmation. And by the time I get to the seventh chakra in violet, and then surrounding myself with all the colors and then surrounding others with them, In less than 5 minutes, I feel balanced. And I might do it in the shower. I might do it anytime I feel off filter. I might do it just mentally, just quietly. I can hear my hear the inner voice, you know, of saying the power affirmations. Like the first one would be I step forward in the world with strength and courage. And I'm imagining red, and I'm putting my hands close to the bottoms of my feet and the base of my spine, and making wider and wider circles. And, you know, and I go on from that to the seven chakras. And then I use the chakras as a way of asking myself what my next steps are. I'll use each chakra and try to hear, you know, what am I born to do now? And that kind of thing with the second chakra. And so those are tools I use along with other things, you know. And I think everything you do, whether it's deciding to eat more healthy or take a little bit more of a walk, a little more exercise, yoga, whatever you do, massage, to kind of recalibrate yourself, rebirth yourself, you know, is so important so you won't get overwhelmed by life.
Which happens quite a bit. Which happens quite a bit. You get overwhelmed by life. Yeah, and remembering, there's just so many things. The vortex method, I know that another healing modality that I'm into uses kind of a similar situation. And it's just good to use these tools. It really is. Simple tools. You know, and I think as humans, we overanalyze things. We think we should overcomplicate it more than it should be.
Well, the chakras, I mean, the chakras is a good example of that. You know, of course, there are many chakras, more than seven, and they're meridians and this and that. And there are some wonderful people like Donna Eden, who does energy healing work, and she knows everything there is to know, I think. She may not agree of, you know, the meridians and chakras. But for me, and for trying to teach and get something very simple and direct and some quick healing and centering, using those seven chakras, getting those, the basic gems of what the chakras are, and using them as a way of quick balancing, works. And whatever works is good.
Yes, there's so many things you can do to have that, and there's so many different ways. Not every way is going to resonate with everyone. That's why there's so many techniques out there.
Yeah, I just, with my book, I try to keep it simple.
Yes.
Very clear, very simple, easy read. Because otherwise, a lot of books, well, my favorite books have always been the small books that are powerful, like Khalil Gibran's book, you know, The Prophet. Like small, powerful books that you wind up turning to and turning to. And that's what people are saying they're doing with my book, is they're using it as a guide, as a resource. Mm-hmm. One woman just wrote on Amazon as a review. She said she every night she opens it up to randomly and reads it, and whatever, you know, it says, it helps calm her, and then she, you know, goes to sleep. I guess I should try that. Maybe I'll sleep better. Anyway, people are using it as a guide, and that's what I wanted. I my vision for this book, if I had a dream, would be that it would be on everyone's night table and people would be turning to it as a guide. That would make me so happy.
That, yeah, well, it's a very good guide. So in closing, because we're coming to a close here, your last segment is called The Connection. Can you explain what the essence of that chapter is all about?
Yeah. What the book is all about really is that every small step we take toward more love for ourselves, more inner healing, more inner peace, raises the vibration planetary-wide. And so whatever we do creates healing in the world, whatever we do to heal ourselves, every small step. So I end with, I'll just say the last stanza of a poem that I wrote, and it says, visualize with me sending a glorious beaming light through and around ourselves, through and around each other, through and around Mother Earth. Let every living being suddenly feel love, transformation, celebration, tolerance, and peace. And may there be a shift of heart within all people of our small, precious world. So that's the essence of my prayer in general, within the book, within every piece of music. My prayer for each of us and in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melody, in closing, where can we find you and your works, your works of art, your babies,
your
musical babies, and your book, which is, I feel, a must for everybody. You're right.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Oh,
well,
no,
you can log on to shiftofheart.com. That's my website. Amazon.com/author/CherylMelody would work. And you can email me at melody@shiftofheart.com.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a great show. I love when people sing. Anybody wants to sing, come on my show. No, just kidding. You have such a calming voice.
Well, I thank you. Thank you so much. And I've loved talking with you. We should talk and keep on talking long after the show at some point, you know, just stay friends. So
yes, definitely. And keep us abreast of your new births, your babies. I see babies coming from you more, you know.
Oh, my gosh, more babies. Oh, no.
I don't mean the two-legged kind. I'm talking about the musical kind.
I know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that would be wonderful. I will. I'll be sure to tell you if anything else comes through me, for sure. And I'll let you know when it's really going to be very soon that I'm going to release Listen to the Whispers. It'll be very soon, and I'll let you know.
Oh, that would be great. Okay. Well, my name is Amy Toy. This is Angel Answers with Amy Toy. This has been a great show, everybody. May the angels carry you through to the next day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.